We are in 2 John today, and we'll finish 2 John today, so that's great. It'll get us through 1 John and 2 John, and then we'll begin 3 John, and we'll finish it up here in just a few weeks. Some of you have been with us all the way through when we started 1 John back in January, and if you're like me, even when a movie turns bad, I just want to see the rest of it because I've watched so much of it already, you know, and just can't hardly, my wife's not that way, but I'm that way. I just started it. I want to finish it. I know it's boring. I know it's cheesy or whatever else is wrong with it, but I'm going to get to the end and watch the credits, you know, just to complete it. So I'm going to mess some of you up with 3 John. We're going to deal with some of it on a Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, and not like that. So, you're not a typical Sunday night, Wednesday night person, but you want to get those last two sermons in from 3 John. Well, I'll let you know when they are, and you'll have to make your way, make plans for those, okay? All right, 2 John, and we're reading in verse 7 today. For many deceivers are entered into the world who confess not that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh. This is a deceiver and an antichrist. Look to yourselves that we lose not those things which we have wrought, but that we receive a full reward. Whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ hath both the Father and the Son. If there come any unto you and bring not this doctrine, receive him not into your house, neither bid him God speed. For he that biddeth him God speed is a partaker of his evil deeds. Having many things to write unto you, I would not write with paper and ink, but I trust to come unto you and speak face to face, that our joy may be full. The children of thy elect sister greet thee. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for this letter here that we see written to this elect lady and her children, to this church, meeting in her house. And Lord, we just pray that you'll help us to take these truths and apply them in our own heart. Thank you for your word. Thank you for what the word can do that man cannot. I ask you to bless this time together and have thine own way. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, today we really get into John's major theme in the letter, which is watch out for external danger that you may encounter. He's writing this here. He also writes his conclusion to the letter there in verse 12 and 13, and we're going to look at all of that. The external danger that he writes of is similar to what we saw, and in fact is pretty identical to what we saw in 1 John, which makes sense. He wrote 1 John to the church. He wrote 2 John to the lady that I believe was allowing the church to meet there in her house. And so he writes the same idea there. And the idea is that those that are outside the church are practicing something more than Jesus. Jesus plus anything is heresy, right? It's just Jesus. And that's the idea. And that's exactly what he says here. And that's what he said in 1 John. What's different in this case from 1 John to 2 John is that this danger that he writes of is something that probably hasn't reached the congregation. In 1 John, he was writing of something they were probably aware of. Here, he's writing of something that maybe they didn't know about or maybe they hadn't encountered, but he's saying to them, when this happens and you do encounter this, here's what you are to do. And that's what we want to talk about here today is external dangers. John tells them to be alert as they may encounter external danger. So let's begin first and to determine, well, what is the danger? What should I be looking out for? Do you remember when you were a kid and mom and dad said, don't run across the street, and you know, you guys taught, look, stop at the line and look both ways and then look both ways again? That's what my children were taught. Some of you are nodding your head, so you must have watched The Wiggles too. There was a song. You want to hear the song? Yes? All right. You like The Wiggles? I like The Wiggles too. They're pretty good. Stop at the line, look both ways, then look both ways again. Wait for traffic to come to a stop and then cross the road with a friend. Right? And don't cross the road with strangers. Even odd people who drive up next to you when you're coming out of stores, right? All right, so why are we talking about this? Man, see, this is, we won't finish if you guys won't let me make me stop myself sometimes. No, external dangers. We are taught as children, don't cross. But, you know, I remember thinking as a kid, I don't know what the big deal is. In my mind, I was fast. I got fast shoes. Did you guys ever have fast shoes in your... Little boys always get these shoes, and they think they're fast shoes, you know. Thomas will get them now, and he'll say, watch me, Dad. These shoes are fast. He gets shoes from Colby. And when shoes come from Colby, they're very fast shoes. And sometimes I had shoes that could make me jump high, too. But when I was in church, I had a yellow blazer. And I felt fast in my yellow blazer I used to wear when I was 4 and 5 and 6 in church. And this one time, we were running, I had my Easter soup on. That's what I call it, my Easter soup. And it was white. White coat, white pants. You know, 80s, late 80s. Miami Vice. Some of you know where I'm at here. Okay. It sounds stupid now, a white suit in church. But that was cool back then. And we went to this storefront church, so a city main street right in front of us, and the church had glass windows like a store would have, and it was a storefront church plant. That's where my parents got saved. And we parked across the street. Dad had I think it was a Caprice Classic. I remember those. Two doors. The doors were heavier than a tank. If you got your fingers hung in that as a kid, man, you were there till somebody could open that door. Anyways, moving on. So we come out of church, and I'm in my Easter soup, and I'm going to run across the street to our car there. Here I go, jetting off, and I hear my mother, "Don't you cross." And then I hear a car, you know, and here I am kind of looking at this car that just about ran over me. And all of a sudden, I just elevate out of the sky, one arm up like Superman. But it was because Dad had that arm, and he was jerking me on across the street there. Well, I learned that day, well, that's why you don't cross the street by yourself. But before that day, I didn't know. I just thought, parents are keeping me from something that was going to be fun. They didn't want to run fast, but I did. You know, that's all I knew about. Well, John's writing to these folks here, and he's saying there are some things that maybe you haven't encountered yet, but it's going on. It's probably going on in other areas, and you need to watch out for this. The danger that he's speaking of here is danger that is found under the name of Christianity. He says, many deceivers are entered into the world who confess not that Jesus has come in the flesh. This is a deceiver and an antichrist. They claim to be similar, but they are different. Different in that they exclude the true Christ. That's the idea. That's the difference. Now, there are things that every one of you in here differ on about the Bible. But for whatever reason, we can look past those things and still go to church together and it's not that big of a deal. But this is one of those cardinal things. This is the cardinal thing. That we meet here and go to church here because this is how we feel about Christ, and others meet there and go there because they don't feel this way about Christ. That's the idea here, okay? And John is talking, and some of you looked at me funny there, this is not denominational. This is Christianity or not. This is the level we're talking about here, okay? So he says they claim to be of just like you, but they're different. They call themselves Christians, but they're actually not, because they do not confess that Jesus has come in the flesh. And that's the mistake made here. Now, John says that these are deceivers, and he goes so far as to say, and antichrist. Now, it's not big A, it's not the antichrist, but he says antichrist. And basically, these are in opposition to, is the idea that we had there. A poor substitute for. That's a good way to think of what John is saying here. Now, the deceiver, the term that he used here, implies more than just false doctrine. These are not just someone caught up in a false doctrine. It is that, and they are teaching a false doctrine, but it's more than that. This includes people who are leading other people into wrong living. Okay, that's the idea. This is the external danger. John is not saying that, you know, watch out, don't be friends with people who do this or do that because that's a bad thing. John is saying you need to watch out because there are people out there who are deceiving people and leading them into this form of godliness that denies that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh. These are the deceivers. Wiersbe writes here, and I like what he says. He says, those with wrong doctrine typically embrace wrong living. I say amen to that. That's a very good point he makes there. The deceivers John's writing of typically or do have a faulty view of Christ. And we can know that what someone believes about Jesus will impact other areas of their theology. In fact, it will shape their entire worldview. Beliefs held about the Bible, beliefs held about God, beliefs held about humanity, creation, sin, salvation, all of these beliefs are formed from the foundational understanding of Jesus. When someone has a faulty view of Jesus, who he was, 100% God, 100% man, 100% God the Son, who always has been, always will be, Jesus Christ, eternal, second part of the Godhead, this man. When someone has a faulty view of that, then all of the rest of these theologies formed on other things will falter as well. It may not always seem evident, but when you start digging around in it, it'll happen. Anybody ever had some foundational issues in your house? It don't always seem evident, but boy, you ever get under there and really start looking. You put a level on it, and it becomes very obvious pretty quickly. John cautions his readers to watch themselves. Now, verse 8 and 9 are unique. Let's look at those verses. He says, look to yourselves, that we lose not those things which we have wrought, but that we receive a full reward. Now, that's funky. That, if we take verse 8 all by itself, you and I who believe in the eternal security of the believer are thinking, okay, what's John talking about here? He's saying if we're deceived that we're going to lose something, what are we going to lose? Well, that's why we got to take verse 9 in with verse 8. They're brothers and sisters, and you got to keep them together here. Whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, he hath both the Father and the Son. Verse 8 alone would make it seem that a believer could be deceived and lose what was worked for. However, when we view it as a complete thought of verse number 9, verse 9 explains that a true believer will abide in sound doctrine. So there's a warning, but there comes some encouraging with that warning. Watch out for these external dangers. But then there's the encouragement that a true believer, one who believes that Jesus Christ is who he said to be, will have the Father and the Son and will not be deceived. A true believer will not be deceived. I mean, that's encouraging to one extent, and then it's discouraging to the other extent, because when we find someone who is deceived, that also says to us they're not a true believer. So the deceivers and the Antichrist are the external danger. Well, what should be done? That's verse 10 and 11. Very simple. They should not be welcome or accepted. If there come any unto you, bring not this doctrine. Receive him not into your house, neither bid him Godspeed. For he that biddeth him Godspeed is partaker of his evil deeds. What is Godspeed? What does that mean? What do you think? Takers. Anybody still use that term? Godspeed. Well, what do we say now? God bless you. Blessings on you. Have a good day. Anybody here just say goodbye? Goodbye. John says, hey, they come to you, don't receive them in your house, and don't even have the manners enough to say goodbye to them. Man, my mom will spank me if I don't have the manners enough to say goodbye to them. John, are you sure about this? Now, we need to know the context here. How did Peter and Paul and John and James, how did these folks operate within the church? Well, they traveled a lot of time. Not all of them, but Paul. Let's just use Paul as our name. Paul traveled. We know that. Paul would go from place to place, from church to church. House church. He wasn't showing up to buildings like this most of the time. House churches. Well, where would Paul stay while he was there? He'd go to the Super 8? No, he had to stay with people. And that was good. Man, can you imagine what a blessing would have been for a true apostle of God to come to you and you be able to host him in your house and have Paul right there with you? Oh, that would have been a great thing. And Paul was one who was big on, I'm not going to wear out my welcome. If I'm here in your house and you're a leather worker, I'm going to work with leather too. If I'm here in your house and you're doing this, I'm going to... Paul was the type, he'd say, hey, you give these offerings. I've never once taken them for myself. He said, I'm collecting all this and taking it to the church in Jerusalem because they're in need there. They're under persecution. Paul was he was a sharp dude. John is saying within that context of this Jewish hospitality where if you were traveling through and needed a place to stay, that wasn't always an inn you'd stay at. It was somebody's house where you would stay. He's saying, don't. If they deny that Christ has come in the flesh, then don't welcome them into your house. And when you're telling them that they're not welcome to stay in your house, don't even bid them Godspeed when they go. That's intense, isn't it? That's kind of mean. I'm a southern gentleman, you know. I may not like you, but bless your heart anyway, right? He said, don't say that. Don't receive them. How should they know? They greet every stranger with, well, first, what do you believe about Christ? Now, that wouldn't be practical, right? Because they would eventually... learned the deceivers would say, oh, we believe this about Christ, let me in your house, you know. So how should they know? Wiersbe writes of a story. He's preaching in Edinburgh, Scotland, and before he gets up to preach, this young man comes up to him and he says, he didn't even introduce himself, he comes to him and he says, do you believe in the virgin birth of Christ? Now you got to get the picture here. This is Warren Wiersbe, pastor of the Moody Church in Chicago, biblical scholar, worldwide respected. He's You don't, you know, you just don't go up to people like this, and you don't really go up to them. And if you do, you don't say things like, "You believe," you know. So he, this young man who is nobody, you know, I mean, he is somebody. He's important, but he's on that level. He's a nobody, really. And he walks up to him, and he doesn't even introduce him. He says, "Do you believe in the virgin birth of Christ?" Well, Wiersbe replies emphatically that he does. And then he also adds in that he preaches Jesus Christ as the Son of God come in the flesh. And he writes about that later. And he says, "While I didn't appreciate this young man's arrogant manner, I did appreciate his concern that the man about to fill the pulpit was walking in the truth." Said amen to that. We should have good manners, but a lot of times we should be careful that our good manners doesn't cause us to welcome deceivers, doesn't cause us to embrace false teaching. This whole idea of what should we do, Boyce writes three things that we can consider in this. He says, first, we must note that John is not talking of all error, but only that which comes under the guise of Christianity. John's writings are not to be used as the basis to refuse to talk to all non-Christians, nor to hold dialogue with adherents to another religion or another philosophical system. John's not saying here, hey, don't try to evangelize Muslims. Not what John's saying at all. John's not saying here, don't welcome Buddhists. That's not it at all. In fact, Christians that see other people practicing false religions should go to them with a heavy heart and explain to them in love the truths and help them to see how they've been deceived in that manner. Absolutely we should. No, John's talking about here people who are pretending to be just like you, but they're snakes in the grass, and under the surface they're not like you at all. These are liars, these are deceivers, these are antichrists. And John is saying of those people, don't even welcome them. The second thing we should note here is that John's not referring to all those who are in error in Christianity. How many of you would be honest this morning and admit, I know some of you don't like to raise your hand in church, you can give me a pinky though, would admit there have been times in your Christian life that you've been wrong on something in the Bible, but you've been corrected on it now, and you're different than you were originally on the Bible on something. You're all deceivers. Get out. Now that's not what John's saying. See that? He's not talking about everybody who's wrong on everything. What's the thing that they're wrong on? That Jesus Christ has come in the flesh. Surely nobody's going to be 100% right 100% of the time on everything. Except for me and Brother Rye. It would have been funnier if he'd been sitting there. We'll try that one again at 11 o'clock. No, we're to love one another. We're to help each other. We're to instruct one another. I started preaching when I was 15 years old. Can you imagine some of those sermons? Shanae, can you imagine? Shanae had to sit through most of them. Those were a lot of our dates. Go preach somewhere, and Shanae, come and sit. Roll her eyes. But people were patient with me and loving with me and still are. And we should be that way with others. John's not saying have bad manners with people that are under your own roof here. John's saying this external danger, these deceivers, these antichrists. And then the last thing we should note here, he's not even referring to all teachers who are in error, but those who are in error on the most fundamental truths and who are actively proclaiming their heresies. Nobody's 100% free of error, but we encourage them and we learn from them. Boyce says, it's only when professing Christians teach the most anti-Christian doctrines that we are to deal this harshly. Well, that brings me to ask, why is John so adamant? Why must I avoid letting them into my house? Why can't I bid them good day? I'm thinking that from my own point of view, I'm a mature Christian. I feel like I can handle myself. In fact, I was offended the other day. I was on my front porch, and we had just moved to the neighborhood, and Jehovah's Witnesses were coming up and down the street there. They went to my parents' house. They drove past, and they went to my neighbor's house. Am I not good enough to be in your cult? Like, come on now. I was kind of looking forward to it. I was like, I love arguing with these people. I think they've got me on their blacklist. Watch out for this guy. Don't talk to him. He's crazy. But why is John this adamant? Why can't I try to help them? What if I know better? Well, there's some reasons here, I think. I think, first of all, it's this idea of being careful that none of God's children give a false teacher the impression that his heresy is acceptable. He says, don't receive them and don't bid them good day. You don't even want them to have the tinge of a thought that this heresy they're practicing is in the least acceptable. It's not okay. To deny that Jesus come in the flesh is not okay on any scale. The second thing is that he didn't want any of them to become infected because of association and possible friendship. You ever, you are who you are around, that kind of a thing? I mean, I know we're all our own folks in here, but I guarantee you, every one of you in here, if I go find three of your closest friends coming along, maybe not now, but coming along, there are some things you like and don't like that those people also liked and didn't like too. I ain't talking about doctrinal things. I'm talking about Snickers bars and Walmart and what you watch on TV, right? I mean, that's how we are. We just kind of are who we are around. That's how we do things. And John is saying here, I don't even want those ideas around you. It's dangerous. Watch out for these things. And then the last thing we should consider here, these are deceivers. These are liars. They're in that business. They're obviously pretty good at it. If they were not, anybody here ever been conned? Oh, I hate getting conned. I hate getting taken advantage of. I was selling a car one time, and I got y'all know about this, I think it's Nigerian check scam. So I got this guy from Nigeria wanted to buy my car, and he was going to send me $5,000 more than I was asking for it, which would cover the shipping. So he FedExed me cashier's check. Cashier's check, it's got to be real. And say the car was $12,000, he sent me $17,000. And what I was supposed to do was, as soon as I got the money, put it in my bank, and then get $5,000 wired from my bank account to his shipper. That was the deal. And they were going to come get the car and ship it to Nigeria, wherever he was. Well, that was the biggest con. The check was bad. But it was just good enough. This happened to a lot of people. I got interviewed by the Detroit Times about this. I'm famous. Y'all didn't know I was that famous, did you? Famous for getting taken advantage of. So they're just close enough that the local banks usually didn't always catch it. So they'd go ahead and put the funds in your account because it was a cashier's check. And then the next day, they'd realize that it was bad, and they'd take the funds back from your account. But by then, you'd already sent, I didn't do this, by the way, but by then, you'd already sent $5,000 out. So the bank took it all, and you were in debt to the bank for $5,000 left over on that. And whoever sent this check, nobody'd ever heard of, and you'd sent somebody $5,000 you didn't know, and nobody was coming to get your car. That was bad. Well, I got lucky. They had made a typo on my check. And I went down to the bank with my check, and the bank said, there's a typo on your check here. You might want to call who sent it. And I said, this is odd here. So I ripped it up and threw it away. And then about a month later, the Detroit Times called me, and somehow or another, my name was out there. And it was an unbelievable thing. These guys were good at this. They had me conned. They thought I was going to just, man, first day I listed my car for sale, boom, full asking price. Didn't even have to kick the tires. That was going to be great. I think that's kind of the idea here. These are deceivers. Look out. Here's the other thing. You welcoming them, you bidding them good day, will give false ammunition to the next place they stopped. Hello, brother so-and-so. I want to share with you today. Well, I don't know who you are. I don't want to hear what you have to say. Well, I just came from Chance's house. He bid me good day. Well, right there's a foot in the door. They know that you know them. You see how that works. So those are some possible reasons. And then we get the conclusion to 2 John, verse 12 and 13. And I love verse 12 and 13. Having many things to write unto you, I would not write with paper and ink, but I trust to come unto you and speak face to face, that our joy may be full. The children of thy elect sister greet thee. Amen. Now this conclusion doesn't require explanation. I'll just make a couple of thoughts here. His heart shined through. John's heart really shines through for these people. There's more that he could say. But he said, I just, paper and ink aren't good enough. I want to come to you soon, and I want to speak with you face to face. Now, we can get, I feel warm and fuzzy inside, just the idea of face to face. But John's more than that. In fact, John in the Greek, he's saying mouth to mouth is what he's saying there. Because we have it here in the English. I want to speak with you face to face. He said, it's not just that I want to see you, but I want to talk to you. I want to commune with you. There are things I want to say. There are things I want to hear you say. Why? That our joy might be full. We have the joy of the Lord, and the joy of the Lord is our strength. But the joy of the Lord that is our strength is made full the most when we get around other people whose joy of the Lord is their strength as well. And when two Christians get together in communion and they begin to just sort of sharpen one another, and it's just like when you have one flashlight and you add two and just that much brighter. John says our joy will be full. His and theirs. We should see the importance of Christian fellowship in this. We should be aware of the joy that it should bring to our hearts. It's wonderful to receive letters, but it's more to receive God's people into our homes, into our hearts. So this little postcard epistle written to a lady and her family and the church in their house is a gem of sacred correspondence. But never forget the major theme of this letter. Be alert. There are many deceivers who are in the world. Well, let me give you 3 points of application here. First, Christian fellowship is critical. I think we see that all through 2 John. I mean, from the first verse to the last verse, Christian fellowship is critical. You will find yourself lacking joy without it. No one is an island. You may try to be, but no one is. It is so important that you are plugged in. You will become spiritually depressed and not even realize it when you do not have Christian fellowship, koinonia. That's the Greek word there that we're talking about, Christian fellowship. Find a group. Get yourself plugged into other Christians who will sharpen you. The second point of application is to be alert for deceivers and antichrist, those who operate under the name of Christianity but are actually denying Christ. Do not greet them. Do not welcome them. Hopefully that's going to be a rarity in your life, but it's something to be aware of. And then finally, examine yourselves. We think back to verse 8 and 9. Are you a true believer who will not be deceived? Or are you not? Or are you already deceived? People have funny ideas about things. A lot of times we'll sort of pat them on the head and let them go. But we should be aware here that there's some things it's not all right to have a funny idea about. There's some things we should be firm on. And that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh. That Jesus is God. Those are things we should be firm on. So examine yourselves. Verse 9, whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, he hath both the Father and the Son. Let's stand. We're going to have a time of prayer. If you're here today and you're not saved, this time is for you. Come, we have an altar here you can bow in, and I'd love to pray with you and show you in God's Word how to be a Christian, how to be a person of faith. If you're here today and maybe you're deceived, well, there are ways for you to be shown the truths of Scripture. If you're here today and you feel like I'm a Christian, I feel like I'm in the right stuff, well, what's your fellowship like? Are you in fellowship or are you out of fellowship? You need to get more plugged in. Maybe you're spiritually depressed here today. Maybe your joy is lacking. Just being here is going to help with that. But let's all pray right now and ask God to help us with these truths. Mm-hmm.